Blog Talk Radio.
Well, I woke up Sunday morning with no way to hold my head. That didn't hurt. And the beer I had for breakfast wasn't bad, so I had one more for dessert. Then I fumbled in my closet, threw my clothes and found my cleanest dirty shirt. Then I washed my face and combed my hair and stumbled down the stairs to meet the day. I'd smoked my mind the night before with cigarettes and songs I'd been picking. But I lit my first and watched a small kid playing with a can that he was kicking. Then I walked across the street and caught the Sunday smell of someone's frying chicken. And Lord, it took me back to something that I lost somewhere, somehow along the way. On a Sunday morning sidewalk, I'm wishing, Lord, that I was stoned. 'Cause there's something in a Sunday that makes a body feel alone. And there's nothing short of dying that's half as lonesome as the sound of the sleeping city sidewalk and Sunday morning coming down.
Good morning, everyone, and a happy Saturday to you. This is James Dick, your host with North Florida Writer Live, and it's time for another Sunday Morning Coming Down. My weekend devotional that is named for that wonderful song by the late, great Johnny Cash. I do this every Saturday or sometimes even on Friday night. I like to do it at the beginning of the weekend. I hope that people will listen to it and use it to help guide them as they get closer to Sunday so that Sunday they'll get up and go to church instead of sleeping in. I think it's important. And our topic today is, what does God expect of America? It's a very big topic. You could talk for hours on it. I'm going to try to keep it very short and sweet, but there are some points I want to make. But first, I want to show the pictures and discuss them briefly. Beautiful pictures of America start out. First is the Statue of Liberty. Lady Liberty shines in New York Harbor, even though it might be a little tarnished these days. But we're going to work on it, folks. That's what we've got to do. That's what he wants us to do. Secondly, shows the opposite side of the country, the Golden Gate Bridge, San Francisco. Now, both of those great landmarks were very important to a lot of Americans. Our war people coming back from the Atlantic or the Pacific theaters, awful lot of them went through those two ports coming back in, as well as sailing out. So it has special memories. It also has memories to particularly older people that used to come into the country through Ellis Island, and it meant they had found a home with freedom where they could work as hard as they could to gain the American dream. Seems like we've lost a lot of that, folks. And then there's a beautiful scene of farmland with the American flag showing. We are blessed with rich farmland that can outproduce anybody in the world when we do it right. And then beautiful mountains. We're blessed. We've got a beautiful seashore. We've got mountains. We've got it all. And speaking of beautiful seashore, next is wonderful beaches. That's a rougher coastline. That's off North Carolina. I spent my summers there as a child. Beautiful beaches. And then we have the Holy Trinity, God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, who basically worked together from the beginning by the Creator God himself. And then the cross, Bible, and the flag representing the direct link of America to God, which we're going to talk about quite a bit today. And lastly, the picture of Johnny Cash, the singer of that great song. A man who had a struggle in his life as a young man, but he worked his way through it, and before he died, he was devoted to Christ. You know, folks, we Americans want it all, and we want it now. Unbridled expectations have been turned loose in a society that has had it easy by world standards, and many have never experienced hard times until now. So what's happened? Why are so many unhappy these days? High unemployment or underemployment? People that see no future? And many who have just no idea of what to do or where to turn? Could it be because we have lost the true meaning of what our life is supposed to be and where it's supposed to lead us? Is the loss of a firm tie to the living God the major cause of our problems? I can't answer it for anyone else, but I think that last question is on the mark. I think we've, in many cases as a society, lost our way. Now, there are a lot of us in the society that haven't, but many more have, and frankly, it seems to be getting worse. And I think it's creating huge problems for us. People don't want to acknowledge that this country was founded under God. History shows that it was. We're going to talk about a couple of those things. And one in particular I just want to highlight, and then we'll have a little scripture. Back in 1789, the first president of the United States, George Washington, was requested by Congress to make a proclamation for Thanksgiving. A day was to be declared for Thanksgiving, to thank God. I just want to read the opening part because I think it makes it very clear what the founders and even the first Congress, which a lot of them were part of the founding group, what they were looking for, what they believed, what they wanted the nation to be started under. So here we go. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have, by their joint committee, requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. That's from that proclamation. It parallels pretty close the Declaration of Independence, which talks about us being formed under a great creator who gave us inalienable rights that no one can take away because they were given by God. Sadly today, many of us don't think that anymore. We look at things as if, oh, that's just a bunch of malarkey. That doesn't mean anything. We've evolved. You know, you hear the word evolved a lot. That bothers me. We've evolved on so many things, which basically means we don't have the courage to stand by what is true, because we really don't. I mean, we are truly blessed in this country. We were given our own land of milk and honey. You know, the Israelites talked about Israel being the land of milk and honey because it was a valley where it was fertile in a place that was otherwise very, very dry because of the Jordan River. Kept it nice for crops, and of course they've gone much further with it since then. But we've got a veritable milk and honey land here in the United States. We've got wonderful farmland. We've got good people. And we set up a government which was designed to be of the people, by the people, and for the people. But yet, we mankind, I don't mean just men and women, have really blown it. We've made some huge mistakes, and we've allowed ourselves to be taken in by the idea that government knows best. But government doesn't know best. It never does. People know best. Individuals know best. The power of individuals and their thought processes and then banding together and working together is tremendous. But we've instead created a monolithic state, which has all the answers and knows better for us than we do. And I think God probably has a big problem with that, but I think he's allowed it to happen to us because we've become very weak. You know, there's a lot of things, and we're going to talk about those when we come back, because we're going to have a break here in just a second for some more music. But, you know, we've been through some horrible times in America, and we weathered through them. World wars. Now, I think we were successful in most of those situations because despite being mortal humans that make mistakes, we did do the right thing in the end, and we tried to help people that needed their help. And we worked on that very diligently. You'll have to pardon my little pooches in the back that are making a little bit of noise this morning. It seems that out in the woods nearby, we had a Florida panther roaming around last night, and I think everybody might be a little bit edgy. No danger here, though, folks. But anyway, folks, we've been blessed with all these things. We've won wars. We've conquered enemies, but yet we don't conquer their people. We've allowed them to set up their own governments and run it after we're gone. Nobody else has ever done that. The Romans didn't do it. Germany certainly didn't want to do it. Soviet Union didn't want to do it. But America's done it. And it's an amazing thing. But we seem to have lost our way. And we're going to come back and talk about what that means, what it is that we've lost and what we need to do. Because I think it's very important to understand that God set down some laws for us, and he expects us to follow them. And when we don't follow them, there are consequences of our actions. There are always consequences by what we do. So when we come back, we're going to talk about that a little bit. And we'll also start off with a very, very short scriptural verse, which will kind of set the motion of this. And now, while we take a little music break, you know, there's only one way to get to heaven, folks, to live eternally. You got to go through the cross, folks. And here, my friends, is the old rugged cross. And we'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I'll lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it
for a crown. And exchange it someday for a crown.
And that, my friends, was Alabama with a wonderful version of the old Rugged Cross. Okay, let's take just a moment for the reading of a very short scriptural verse, but I think it sets the tone for what I'm trying to get at here. It comes from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 6, verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added to you. Seek first the kingdom of God. What does that mean, folks? It means you've got to put God first. Put him first in your life and everything. And we've definitely missed the boat there. Most Americans are so concerned about stuff that it's just astounding that, we can't even take the time on Sunday to go to church, so many of us. We don't pray anymore. And I don't mean this everybody, but I'm talking about as just a general notion of what's happened so much. We don't necessarily raise our children to understand the importance of a deity, a omnipotent creator who loved us enough to create us in his image. We forget all these things, and we think that man can solve all things. And then in just a flash of a second, it can all be destroyed, and we wonder what happened. Now, bad things happen to good people as well. Don't get me wrong. But the point is, God wants us to put him first. That takes commitment. You've got to commit to him. And the reason you go to church, read the Bible, pray, is to enforce and enrich that commitment. Because it's like an athlete in sports. You've got to practice, 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 and it makes you stronger. Well, the same thing applies to faith and your belief in Jesus Christ. Practice it. You very well might lose it. And, you know, if you don't have it and you start practicing and start asking for help, you're going to find it. And when you find it and you live by it, then you're saved. That means when this temporary passage that we're going through, known as life on earth, is over, it's not over for you. Because if you believe in him and live for him, do the best you can, because you will make mistakes. You're a human. You will make mistakes, but if you do it the best that you can and try to live by what he expects of us, live in his image, since we are made in his image, then you will live forever. And that's why you have the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, because the three work together. The Father was the creator, and he's always looking down, looking over things. Jesus was sent and put in human form to save us, which he did. Or he gave us the opportunity for salvation. We've got to make the free will choice. And then the Holy Spirit, after Jesus ascended to heaven, after the resurrection, the Holy Spirit was sent by Jesus to be our internal guidance counselor, to try to help us ward off the evil of Satan, who is always present in the air. He's around us, and he's always looking for a weakness. So you've got to commit to God. You've got to have faith, so that you will believe. And then you have to be allegiant, show allegiance and obedience to him. He's the boss. He's your boss. Listen to him. He'll talk to you through the Holy Spirit and tell you what to do. But you got to open your heart and listen. And he wants you to love one another. He wants us to love one another. That's tough sometimes. And I'm not talking about sexual love here. I'm talking about caring for your fellow man. That doesn't mean that your fellow man doesn't have to do some work. It's not one of these. I'm not talking about welfare, folks. I'm talking about when people have serious problems or they need assistance or they need some guidance or just somebody to sit down and talk with them. Have compassion and love for your fellow man and be willing to forgive. That's a big part. You've got to be able to forgive people. That doesn't mean that you put your hands up and let them kill you. It means that when they want to change, when they truly want to change, you will forgive them if they do that. You don't hold permanent grudges. Hard to do. That's probably the hardest thing in the world to do, but it's what we're expected to do. And all of that requires a good moral code. A good moral code. And that takes us to, well, how do we know what God wants? How do we know what he wants? Well, I'll just give you two places to look. The first is in the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments. The thou shalt nots, as they call it. They're there for a reason. Whether you're a Christian or a Jew or not, whether you believe in God or not, although I certainly want you to, folks, but that's your decision what you do. But if nothing more than anything else for you, it is a good way to keep social order so that people can survive without killing one another. Because when you get into greed and corruption and all those things, you're not following the Ten Commandments. And one of the big ones that starts it all off is you have another God other than the real God, other than Jehovah. For a lot of people, it's money. It's greed, money, and they want it all. They want the stuff that comes with money. They want the power. For others, it's immoral desire. It can destroy many a person, and it has. You want somebody that's not supposed to be yours, someone that might be part with someone else, and you want to destroy that. It's happened a lot of times. Many more things, honoring your father and your mother. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. There's so many things there, but here's the deal. Here's the deal. If you decide to change your way and start following those rules, he'll forgive you. So what happens when a society starts changing the rules because it's just easier to let anything go, whatever happens, that's okay, no problem. Well, God doesn't like it. Sometimes he just puts up with it to see what we're going to do. Sometimes he shows his wrath. He did it to the Israelites a lot. If you'll remember, the Israelites were the chosen people. You know, before Jesus came and opened salvation to everyone, opened God to everyone and through Jesus Christ, their religion was just for Jews. And they were blessed. But what happened? God would bless them, and then they'd turn on him. Graven images and other things. I mean, when Moses went up to get the stone tablets of the Ten Commandments, when he came down, there was debauchery going on down in the valley. They couldn't even wait for 3 or 4 days for him to come back. We're the same way in America. People want what they want, and they'll try to make an excuse for it. Governments do it, individuals do it, businesses do it, everybody does it. You hear the talk, oh, that's just business, oh, that's just the way things are. Well, no, it's not the way things are. It's the way we make them because we make bad choices, collectively. So that probably concerns you because you think, well, what do I do? How can I make a difference? Well, take a look at the Sermon on the Mount. Look it up. It's not hard to find. Google it. Same thing with the Ten Commandments. And it'll tell you exactly where to find it. Of course, it's in the Holy Book. It's in the Bible. Jesus, on the Sermon on the Mount, told us how to live. He also, in those last hours before he was going to be arrested and put to death, he spent several hours giving guidance to the disciples who became the apostles. He told them how to live. He told them not to be fearful, although certain things are going to happen, which they did. Because, folks, if you believe in him and you try to do the right thing, when the world goes south, and I mean south in a bad way, not to my dear Southland, when it goes down, you don't want to be on the wrong side of that coin, I'm telling you. Because it's ultimately going to happen. He tells us it's going to happen. It will. Jesus came once, and he's going to come again. But when he comes the next time, he's going to rule the world, but you need to have made your decision to live for him before that happens. You need to do it now while you're on earth. because you don't know when you're going to die. You know, everybody talks about the apocalypse. Well, your apocalypse, I guess, is coming the day you die if you're not in the right corner. So make a commitment to him. Open your heart so that you can get the faith and believe in him. Follow his rules. Be loyal to him. Love your fellow man. Here's another one. Be humble. How many times have you heard a politician say, oh, I'm humbled by this nomination or this election? And then what do? They don't return their phone calls. Or they do something just the opposite of what they said in their campaign. Because they're human. Trappings of power become too popular. You know, that's one of those vices that you got to deal with, and it's very hard to fight it off. But that's what he expects you to do. And that's why he gave you the weapons, the prayer, the community worship, and the Bible to help you stay on course. Okay. And you got to have good morals, folks, and that's an issue today because we've thrown the moral code out the window. And Christians, if you love others, that means you're not going to condemn them, and we're not supposed to condemn them, absolutely not. But we don't have to live by those rules. And here's where I bring up another little thing known as the divine right of kings. You know, this was one of the things that basically had a lot to do with our foundation. We didn't want a king anymore. America had the experience with a king, King George. Tax and spend George, I guess. He taxed you and he spent it for his own. That's what he did. Gee, that sounds kind of like today, doesn't it? History does repeat itself. But here's the thing. Kings were allowed to rule, just like leaders are allowed to govern, because God allows them to be elected, to be put in a place, because he knows that man needs some earthly rules to deal with modern day issues. But all those rules should be in line with God's law, and that's where we get into trouble. Because you got to remember, whether you're just a bricklayer, or you're a doctor or a lawyer, or you're the president of the United States, God's law trumps all other laws. And when we write laws that don't fall in line with what God expects, he's not real happy with that, and it creates problems. That's what's happened to us today. We've lost our soul in so many ways. But the reason I say this is because God, being the omnipotent power that he is, but a loving power, he created us in his image. And that means all of the leaders, all of the kings, all of the rulers, down through the ages, were created in his image. And that means they were supposed to live as he wanted them to do. And he knew they would make mistakes, but he expected them to fight for the good. Expected them to do the right thing. And when we don't do the right thing, the authority loses God's authority. Now, I'm not saying to take it to the streets or any of that kind of stuff. I'm just telling you that in your heart, you an individual, you are tasked with following God's law. And it's very tough to do sometimes. And as a society, we need to do that. And the only way we do that is when we, in mass, rise up, speaking together, stand for one, and demand that the righteousness be upheld that God wanted for us. And we have to do that at the polling place, the way we live. Because when a government loses the authority of God because it's doing things that are counter to God, it really has no authority over you at all. Matter of fact, in the end, it doesn't anyway, because when we die on this earth, it doesn't matter what the government did. And each of these people that made these decisions, good, bad, indifferent, they're going to have to answer just like each one of us will. It's an individual thing. So, commitment to God, open your heart, believe through faith, be obedient and allegiant to him. Live your life with love and humility. Put God first in all things. Use your free will that he gave you and you were blessed with to make the right decisions and make good moral choices. That's not everything, but that's a lot. That's the kinds of things you're supposed to be doing. And if we all start doing it, the power of all of us together and with the help of prayer, we can turn things around. We can make them much different. We don't always know who's going to be chosen by God to carry that out? You know, people say, well, one guy's a good Christian man and the other guy isn't, blah, blah. We don't know. We don't know what's in somebody's heart. We also don't know why sometimes we do what we do. But here's the thing. Take a look at one of the key players that was born and raised unknowingly to fulfill some of the greatest work on behalf of Christ our Savior after he died, the Apostle Paul. Saul of Tarsus, that's up in Turkey. He was a Jew, and he believed in what they were doing to the temple, and he was an enforcer for them, and he hurt a lot of people. He arrested people. He was brutal to people. But then on the road to Damascus, he saw the light. We don't know what that was. We don't know if he was struck by lightning. He had a dream or a vision. We don't know. But we do know that it changed him. And he spent the rest of his life preaching the gospel of Jesus to Gentiles. Now, why Gentiles? Because after Jesus came on earth and when he died, he opened up the idea of being the chosen people to all of us who believe. That's what he did. It's a wonder, folks. And he gave America a wonderful country and allowed it to come into being the freest, best, greatest country on earth. So are we going to let it go because we turn against God? Think about that, folks. That's all I'm saying. Just think about it. And I wanted to do it this week because I think it's important. There's a lot of heat right now. People are arguing with each other on the wrong things. They're getting down in the weeds on stuff. Just open your heart and let it lead you. And it might lead you in ways sometimes that you're not expecting. I know I've had a lot of people criticize me about a lot of things. But you know what? If I think I'm doing what's best and I try to pray on it, I'm going to do what I think is right according to that. And I might make some mistakes along the way. We all do. So we're not supposed to judge others, but we need to, as a group, American citizens, come together and make this country one nation under God again. I know that's what we need to do. Because if we don't, well, I don't think it's going to get any better. It'll get a lot worse. And of course, one day it's going to be over anyway. We just don't know when that is. So we can't live assuming, oh, tomorrow it's going to be gone anyway, so who cares? No, no, no. God wants you to do the best you can while you're here. Let him take care of the rest. You take care of having your heart and soul in the right place. He'll take care of the rest. That's the way it works. And that's my message for today. Let's have a quick prayer, shall we? Dear Lord, we thank you for giving us the most wonderful nation on earth. We are troubled today by some of the things going on, but help us to open our hearts, ask you for guidance and direction, come together through prayer and also through communion together to put you first in our lives, because if we do that, we know this great country will be okay, and we'll be okay as well. And if it's meant to be the time, then for Jesus to return, help us to stand with him and be ready for him. Because that's the only way for eternity for us, to eternity for us. God bless each and every one of you. And I hope that your dreams come true in a heavenly sense. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay, folks, that's our show for this week, Sunday Morning Coming Down, and I hope it was valuable to you. Since we've been talking about returning America to be a nation under God, I can think of no better hymn to play, but it's a little bit different rendition because it starts with a very short playing of taps. I'm talking about the Battle Hymn of the Republic, folks. A beautiful hymn. It's about America standing for God, even on the battlefield. Sometimes it's a real battlefield. Sometimes it's just a battlefield of the mind and the heart and the soul. But whatever it is, always stand for God, and you can't go wrong. Have a wonderful weekend, folks. God bless you all. And don't forget to go to church tomorrow. And I'll have some more shows again soon. And, of course, every weekend we'll return with Sunday Morning Coming Down. You can look at my site, blogtalkradio.com/North Florida Writer Live. All of my shows stay on demand on that site. You might find some others you like. Also, check out my regular website, NorthFloridaWriter.com. At the top of the first page, there is a link to my blog. And you can see the things that I write about. Some of you might like, some of you may not. But that's the way it goes. We're all different. But God bless you, folks. Have a great weekend, and I'll see you again soon. And we'll close with the Piana Brothers with the combination Taps and the Battle Hymn of the Republic. See you again soon. Bye now. Thank you.